turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter number 17. The Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Here in the book of Exodus, we know that God used Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. We know that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We know that they could have gone earlier into the promised land. They had a hope of a promised land ahead of them, but they could have gone in earlier. But they had messed up. They didn't believe the Lord. And time again, as they're on these journeys, they don't believe the Lord. They've come to a crossroads, and Moses is turning to the Lord, and the people are turning against Moses every time. And we see one of the examples here in chapter number 17. We see that the people, it said, "And all the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord." And look at the bottom of verse number 1. It says, "And there was no water for the people to drink." Running out of water is a dangerous thing. You can live for quite a few days without food, but you can't live very long without water. You know, we get these safety emails at work. And I didn't realize how important water was. I knew you needed water. But, you know, I grew up in Texas City. The water tastes nasty. Or it used to when I was growing up. I kind of got into the habit of not drinking much water that wasn't flavored. I don't know if anybody agrees with me on that. Y'all may think it's the greatest water in the world, but growing up, I could not stand the taste of Texas water. But I hated Santa Fe's even worse because I drank my grandmother's well water, and I couldn't get past the sulfur smell, you know. But you know, out in Georgia, there's springs out there that are sulfur springs. Man, people go out there with 1 gallon jugs and fill them up, you know, for the health benefits. And it's like, you help yourself. But I didn't. We get these emails at work, you know, from safety people. And I got this one and I hung on to it because, you know, it illustrated how badly we need water. It said, "Could you be chronically dehydrated? Many people are and never realize it. Our bodies require at least 8 glasses of water per day, more during exercise, illness, and hot weather. People often think that even if they don't actually drink water, they're getting enough by drinking coffee, tea, soft drinks, juice, or beer. The truth is that many of these beverages have a diuretic effect." I think we all know what that is. I got pills that I take, and man, I feel like one of those commercials where I ought to be pulling a porta can behind the car. Have a diuretic effect. Encouraging the body to excrete water through using the bathroom rather than retaining it. Think about a grape versus a raisin. The one is plump and full and juicy, containing all its natural water. The other is small, dry, shriveled, its water gone. Although a grape in dehydrated condition is still a good, useful fruit, the human body, when dehydrated, does not function at its best and may be at risk for many ailments. I'm not going to read all 3 pages here to you, but I'm just going to hit some highlights here. It kind of struck me a long time ago. The body is composed of nearly 75% water, and water is required for many essential functions. Water is utilized as a solvent. You know, I did water treatment years ago, back in the early 90s. I worked for a company called U.S. Filter, and we purified water. And I learned about water, and I learned about all the minerals that are in it. Y'all stick with me. This isn't going to be a lecture on water, the whole thing. I just want to make a point here about how important water is for your body. And I learned that that water is the best solvent in the world. That clean water, we used to clean up water so much, we measured it in reverse conductivity, or we measured it in resistance, or conductivity. Anyway, it's been a long time. And it's been a late night and early morning. But we used to get the water so clean that you had to use stainless steel pipes. Because if you used iron pipes, that water was so clean that it would corrode that pipe and just eat a hole in it. Can you imagine water doing that? Because that water would just grab those minerals out of the pipe. Okay? So what you see, as you begin to boil down water, you begin to see the elements left behind, the pollutants in the water that you couldn't see before. They begin to concentrate in that water. So the more that evaporates, the more the junk is concentrated in the what's left of the water. So it talks about water is utilized as a solvent, provides a means to transport nutrients, hormones, and other elements. It's used to produce hydroelectric energy, especially in the brain. It's essential for maintaining cell structure. Water is also necessary to maintain a lower serum viscosity, enables proteins and enzymes to function more efficiently. Chronic dehydration can lead to a loss or decrease in these functions and may ultimately result in disease or can exacerbate an existing condition. I'm just telling you, you need water to live. And when you're running low on water, there's a lot of things that can happen. They talk about dyspeptic pain, which can range from simple heartburn to gastroesophageal reflux disorder. You got acid reflux, you might not be drinking enough water. And then it describes how that happens. Another possible complication of dehydration is joint pain. The cartilage in your body, including your joints, composed mainly of water. As cartilage surfaces glide over one another, some exposed cells become worn and peel away. New cartilage is normally produced to replace the damaged cells. Due to the lack of blood vessels in cartilage, water is needed to transport the nutrients for maintenance and repair. It's some pretty important stuff. Another complication, during chronic dehydration, the body will attempt to conserve water by preventing the unnecessary loss of water. A large amount of water is normally lost from the lungs as water vapor through expired air. Anyway, it goes on to talk about how it can cause asthma, how it can cause different problems in your body when you don't have the water to transport it. I tell you, this hit home to me a little bit. You know, there's the physical water. When you're running low on the physical water, things aren't quite working the way they should. But see, we're talking about the Bible today. I could give you a lecture about I could read all three or four pages of this, and man, you'd say, that's good. But tell me the Bible. Let me tell you about the Bible. The Bible likens water in the Bible to the Spirit of God. The Bible likens water to the Spirit of God. And you can run spiritually dry. Y'all follow me on that? Running spiritually dry. See, they had a physical thirst here. They began to gripe and complain. You know, they began to murmur. It's easy to talk about that, but they were thirsty. They could only see the here and now. They knew they were thirsty. They knew something wasn't right. They needed something. But it was their reaction to it. Like I said, they turned against Moses. Moses turned to God. So they had a physical thirst, but there's such a thing as a spiritual thirst. Over in Psalm 143:1, David talks about it. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." David experienced some dark times. David experienced some times when he was low, when people were against him. You remember at Ziklag, when all the people turned against him, when they got back to the camp and everything was gone, their wives and their children and all their possessions, and they began to turn against David. They've already to stone him, he thought. Or was that Moses? But they were up against David. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David's turning to the Lord here in Psalm 143. He said, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. There's times I can relate to David. I've had some times in my life when I've been depressed. I don't know about you guys. Y'all may just walk up on the mountaintop every day of your life. But there's times in my life I know when all I've seen is that tunnel, when I can't see outside the tunnel. But the idea of being able to encourage yourself in the Lord. He says, therefore, is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. And then he says in verse number 6, he said, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, a dry land. You know, when we've had a lot of rain and that it rains, that rain will just sit on top. It'll flood easy. But when we haven't had rain in a long time, when that rain hits, it'll disappear. It'll disappear right into that soil. And being spiritually dry, he says, I'm as a dry, thirsty land. My soul thirsteth after thee. He wants a relationship with God. He doesn't just want out of his trouble. He wants God there with him. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. In Psalm 42, he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So we have a spiritual dryness that the Bible talks about. The result was they chided with Moses. They were thirsty physically. But when we look at the Bible, we can see what happens when we get spiritually dry. We might become a little bitter. When we get away from God, things don't look quite as sweet. Things don't look quite as nice. Y'all get me on that? So it was a pattern with the Israelites. Whenever their needs weren't being met, they would murmur and complain. Started all the way back in Egypt. It happened after great miracles. The waters of Marah happened after the Red Sea was miraculously divided. That's where they first got out, and they were first away from water. There wasn't a 7-Eleven to go to get a drink at. Moses cried out to God in verse number 4. Moses never failed to turn to God. So here Moses comes to God with no idea what to do and afraid of them stoning him. He was humble. He humbled himself before God. And God tells Moses in verse number 5 to go before the people with the rod that he used to smite the river. It turned it to blood. God gives him a solution. He tells him to go to the rock. Take that rod that I gave you. That rod that was used as a sign when he first went to the people, he told Moses to cast that rod on the ground and it turned to a snake. And he said, now pick it up. That same rod, he said, take it over to that rock. Now in the Bible, when we look at types, do y'all follow me on types, spiritual types? We're going to see this. He takes that rod and he strikes that rock, swings it and hits that rock. He's not going to break the rock with that rod. But he strikes that rock just like he's told. And if you look in the Bible here, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go out before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. And look what he says in verse number 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. God standing before him on the rock. So God tells Moses to strike the rock. And when he did, the water flowed out. We have a picture of that water. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, Jesus was sitting there by the well, and that woman came in the middle of the day, avoiding all the other women in the city because she had problems with adultery and things like that. But she was a woman of ill repute. But she's there at the well. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water? Jesus said, if you knew who was asking you, you would ask him for a drink of water. You would ask me. She said, are you better than Moses? You don't have a bucket to lift the water out. Are you better than Jacob who dug this well? And he said, I have water that if you drink of, you'll never be thirsty again. Jesus offers that drink of water, a spiritual drink, the water that you'll never thirst again. John tells us in John 7, 37 to 39. He said, I'll tell you what he said. He said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, and because that Jesus was not yet glorified. When you compare scripture with scripture and you step outside of that one little passage and saying this is the only thing that can apply, you begin to see things that God opens up in his word. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it defines itself. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Talking about the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you want to go there. Or not. Y'all must be tired from Sunday school, from all the back and forth. 1 Corinthians chapter, if I can get there. Okay. That's not typical. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. He's talking about what happened in the Old Testament. And he says that spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. When Moses struck that rock and that water came out, God was painting a picture with the lives of those Israelites and with Moses. You know, sometimes we don't realize God may be painting a picture with our own life. There are missionaries that were going through times of trouble. They wrote about them later. They don't even realize at the time they're going through what an inspiration they are to the people that come after them. But here the Bible tells us that Moses, he was painting a picture with Moses. It was a type. He said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now skip on down to verse number 11. He said, now all these things happened unto them for in samples or examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And he talks about looking back in the Old Testament and seeing these things that happened. They were pictures for us to understand in our daily walk. There's going to be times when you're spiritually dry, when you're spiritually thirsty, and turning to Christ, turning to Jesus Christ for that water, for that drink of water. You know, in our physical life, when we don't have that water, things begin hurting, things begin aching. In our spiritual life, we may not even realize we're thirsty. We may not even realize that we've begun to be spiritually dehydrated. Just like with the physical water. Things begin to ache. Things begin to hurt. Things begin to complain. A little bit tends to come back up at you. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was beaten and hung on the cross for us. When Moses went up with that rod, and I'll just tell you that rod is judgment, and he struck that rock, it was a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, dying for our sins, and out of him flowing the rivers of living water. Do you see that picture with me today? Do you get that? Look over in Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. Because this happened again in the Old Testament. And a lot of you know that already. It said, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation. And this is years later. Even the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Verse number 2. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died with our brethren, died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord? You know, I painted a picture of a type, and normally you're supposed to stick with one topic. I wanted you to understand that spiritual picture of Jesus Christ and that rock representing Jesus Christ. Because when we come to this part, when they come to this part and they're thirsty and they're dry and they come to Moses and they complain and they say, why? They say again, after all of these years, after the manna in the wilderness, after the many dying in one day because they'd gone against Moses, because they'd gone against God. After all of that, when they come to this part and they're thirsty again, it says, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses, or they chided him and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. You know, we'd have rather died back then than have to go through this right now, they said. And then Moses, and they say, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? How many times have they said that? How many times did they go to Moses and look at the circumstances? They didn't look back at what God had done for them and say, you know, God took care of us in the past. He's going to take care of us again. They didn't look back at that. They only looked at the circumstances and they said, here we are. We're hungry. We're thirsty. You know, it'd have been better if we'd have been back in Egypt. We were getting beat daily, but we had the flesh pots to feed us. We had that to take care of us. And said, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. That was the biggie. We don't get to plant. We're not getting to settle down. We can't do all of that. And now, not only that, we don't even have any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So Moses and Aaron, the first thing they do is they turn to God. They go before the tabernacle, and they fall on their faces, and they say, Lord, what is the solution here? And that's the right thing to do. That's the thing that we should do when we run into problems is go to the Lord. I know this is easy. I know this is Christianity 101. But I'm trying to show you something here. And that Moses and Aaron, they lay down before the congregation of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Verse number 7. Listen carefully. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Did y'all hear that? It said, speak ye to the rock before their eyes. I know y'all know this story. Stick with me. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. The only thing is, I think when Moses was there on his face, and God said, go before the rock. Moses' mind, like so many of us, I've been here. I got this. I know what you did last time, Lord. We got it. I think Moses quit hearing. Go to the rock. Oh, I got this. You ever talk to a kid and you're trying to tell them some details? Or even an adult? Well, especially an adult. You're trying to tell them some details and they got it all figured out. And it's like, well, help yourself. I've told y'all the story when I was turning over one time to go on vacation. I was the only one in Alabama for the company working this job site out there in Decatur, Alabama. And I was the only one there and I was about to go on vacation. And they sent a guy up from Tampa, Florida, you know, he started working down there and, I'm showing him around. You know, it wasn't a hard job. I only had about 4.5-5 hours a day, but I got paid for 40 hours a week. It wasn't a hard job, but you were there in case that water system broke down. You were the only one in the plant that was there responsible for making sure that water system kept running. All you had to do was take logs and watch things. But you kind of needed to know when things were going to get squirrely, you know, so you could take care of it. Because there wasn't anybody else there. There was somebody over the phone, but you were it. I'm telling him, and I said, you know, this is right here. You got to watch this. And if you need one of these, it's over here. And he said, man, I'm only going to be here a week. I said, all right, then, you got it. He had it all figured out. He didn't need me. Later on, when I moved to another job within the same company and he took over up there, well, he ended up not doing so well. I don't know. But anyway, he had it all figured out. And that's Moses. He got up and he said, I got this, Lord. He said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He had it all figured out. And he gets up there, and then it says in verse number 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. I mean, the end result was the same. The water came out, and everybody got to drink. But there was something wrong with what he did. When he got up there and he smote the rock twice, and why not? The first time he only struck it once. This was the second time they were in this situation. Why not hit it twice? But God said to speak to the rock. God was painting a spiritual picture, and he shows us that in the New Testament. He shows us when he talks about they all followed that, they all drank of that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. God was painting a picture, a type for us to look back onto. It said in verse number 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore shall ye not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And then it goes on to say, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them. So in spite of Moses, he was sanctified. But because of that mistake, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he didn't listen to the Lord. So we see the people, their situation, they doubted their deliverance. They were thirsty. They were angry. And then Moses and Aaron, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 to 28. Usually this isn't a problem. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 to 28. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But after that, the punishment is paid. The penalty is paid. There's no more need to strike the rock in the picture. And it's speaking to Christ. We accept Christ simply by confession. Confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Y'all get me on that? I got a little bit off there. But God gives the reason. In Numbers chapter 20, God gives the reasons. Number one was a lack of belief. He said, because you did not believe me. And the other one was they took credit for what was going on. He said, now here, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? They didn't sanctify God. They didn't give God the glory on it. When he did the act, it was him. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Must me and Aaron do this? You bunch of rebels? They had lack of credit, or they didn't believe God. They took credit, and they broke the type that God had set out. Psalm 106, 32-33 tells us what happened to Moses. He got angry. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. He got ahead of God. He didn't believe what God had said, and he got angry. When we go through trials in life, we see how God delivered us at one time. And when we come up to a situation, we say, okay, well, this is how God's going to do it again. You know, we like to figure things out. We look back on our experience. You know, experience is a good teacher, but experience, if all we rely on is that and we don't look at the current situation, we get caught up in how it was solved before. I'm not trying to convince y'all of anything. I'm just talking about what's going on here. Here in this passage. But Moses was going off of his own experience instead of trusting the Lord for God's solution for that moment in time. When we lose our humility or humbleness, we can leave God's will. If you become spiritually dry or distant from God, it's the time to turn back to Him. Y'all stand with me. I've told y'all before when, out in Georgia, when we go to meetings and stuff, and we'd get fired up about the preaching and stuff like that. And we'd come out here, and in the circles that we knew out here, everything just seemed spiritually dry. And I don't mean that about the whole area, because we didn't know the whole area. We just knew when we came out here, the areas we were in were just dry. You just felt drained. You felt thirsty. You know, nobody was talking about the Lord. Nobody respected the Lord, it seemed like. As we get further along here in this century, we see more and more a spiritual dryness, a dry, thirsty land. And it's up to us to go to Jesus Christ for that drink. It's up to us. If we run spiritually dry, there'll be things going wrong in our life that we just don't even realize what the cause of it is. Just like when your body begins to run low on water. We'll go to things like tea and coffee and think we're getting plenty in us. And really, they're just hurting us. Let's go to the source. Let's go to that rock that's Jesus Christ.